Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're taking a chopped vinyl idea and turning it into a modern D&B weapon, something that still feels dusty, soulful, and human, but still hits with a clean punch and low-end discipline of a current club record. This is the kind of texture that lives in the DJ tools space of a track. It's perfect for intros, breakdowns, drop transitions, fake-outs, switch-ups, and second drop variation. And in drum and bass, that's a big deal, because a vinyl textured element can do two jobs at once. It gives your track identity, and it gives you something useful to ride in the arrangement, loop under an MC, or use as tension before the full drum and bass weight comes back in. The goal here is not lo-fi for the sake of nostalgia. The goal is a texture that can survive a drop. So let's build it in Ableton Live 12. Start with a sample that actually means something. A chord stab, a sung phrase, a horn hit, a piano fragment, a guitar lick, even a dusty spoken word clip. You want something with emotional fingerprint, something that has a clear musical identity in the mid-range. That matters, because in D&B the drums and sub are going to provide the weight. Your sample needs to provide the story. Drop the sample into an audio track and choose the warp mode carefully. If the source is tonal and steady, Complex Pro can work well. If it's more percussive or you plan to chop it aggressively, beats or texture may feel better. Trim it down to a phrase that gives you something to work with, usually 1 to 4 bars. Keep the useful material roughly in the 200 Hz to 6 kHz range, and if there's real rumble under 120 Hz, clear that out early. What to listen for here is simple. Does the sample still feel musical when it's looped at 174 BPM? And does it have enough attack to survive time stretching without turning soft or cloudy? If the answer is yes, you've got a strong starting point. Now slice it into playable chops. Don't overdo it. A lot of people think more slices equals more creativity, but in drum and bass that usually just creates clutter. You want groove shape, not edit noise. A good starting point is one longer slice for a phrase tail, two medium slices for punctuation, and one short slice for a pickup or turnaround. If you're building this in Simpler or a drum rack, treat the slices like a performance part. Let them breathe. A few good chops with intent will beat 100 tiny cuts every time. At this point, make a creative choice. Do you want this to feel more dirty and soulful, or more tight and modern? If you go for the dirty soul version, leave a little more transient edge, more noise floor, more imperfect timing, more wobble. If you want the tighter club version, shorten the tails, clean up the low mids, and make the grid feel more exact. There's no right answer. If you're building a roller, a deep liquid tune, or something jungle influenced, the looser version often wins. If you're aiming at darker jump up, neuro-adjacent energy, or a sharper peak time hybrid, the tighter version usually lands harder. Now let's shape the sound. A very solid stock chain here is a EQ8, saturator, compressor, and auto filter. That gives you tone, density, control, and movement without overcomplicating the chain. Start with EQ8. High pass around 120 to 180 Hz, so the chop stays out of the sub lane. If it feels boxy, gently pull down 250 to 400 Hz. If it gets brittle, ease off some of the 2.5 to 5 kHz zone. The idea is to keep the sample present without letting it fight the kick, snare, or bass. Then add saturator, but keep it modest. A few dB of drive is usually enough. Soft clip can be really useful here, if you want density without obvious distortion. This is one of the reasons the technique works so well in D&B. Saturation gives the chop enough harmonic body to cut through heavy drums without having to be loud. Then use light compression. Not heavy glue, just enough to catch the peaks. You're aiming for maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on the loudest hits. Too much compression and the chop turns into wallpaper. Too little and it feels disconnected from the rest of the record. Finally, use auto filter for arrangement control. You can low pass the chop in the intro and open it up as the drop arrives, or close it down briefly before a restart. That gives you a DJ tool style movement that feels intentional, not random. What to listen for now is the balance between soul and control. If the chops still feel alive, but they no longer spill into the kick and bass, you're on the right path. If the transient gets too soft, you've overprocessed it. If the top end starts spitting and masking the snare crack, ease off the saturation and compression. Next, place the chops in relation to the drum groove. This is where the pocket gets defined. In standard D&B, the snare is the anchor on 2 and 4, so the chop should either answer the snare or stay out of its way. Try putting a chop just before the snare is a pickup, or just after it is a response. You can also use offbeat stabs that leave the downbeat open, or build a two-bar call-and-response phrase. One of the strongest patterns is this kind of shape, a couple of short chops before the snare, then a little tail into the gap, then a longer chop that carries into the next downbeat, then a variation with one missing hit so the phrase breathes before the next section lands. Listen closely here. Does the chop make the snare feel bigger, or does it mask the snare's impact? That's the test. If the snare stops reading clearly, the chop is too greedy. If the two elements bounce off each other, you've got a real groove. Now let's give it modern punch without losing the vintage character. The easiest way is to create a parallel support layer. Duplicate the chop track, then strip that duplicate down to the attack zone. I pass it higher, around 250 to 400 Hz, maybe even a bit more depending on the source. Keep it low in the mix, and use either drum bus or a touch of saturator and compression to sharpen the front edge. This layer is not supposed to replace the main chop. It's supposed to help it read on big speakers and in a crowded drop. That's the modern punch path. Another good option is to resample the chop while the drum groove is playing, then use that printed audio as a short accent layer. That often feels more record-like, because the performance is committed. It also lets you cut, reverse, and fade the waveform quickly without constantly tweaking the source chain. Why this works in DNB is pretty simple. The track needs a texture with personality, but it also needs definition against fast drums and heavy bass. Parallel punch gives you the clarity, while the vinyl chop keeps the character. Now add movement, but don't overdo it. In DNB, too much motion in a textural layer can make the arrangement feel indecisive. Automate with purpose. Open the filter as the track approaches the drop. Dip the volume slightly when a fill lands. Throw a bit of delay or reverb only at transitions. Then pull it back. A short reverb, maybe around 4/10 of a second to just over a second, can add depth without washing out the attack. Keep pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds so the chop stays punchy. Delay is great too, but keep the feedback modest unless you want a special effect moment, and filter the return, so it doesn't pour low mids into the bass lane. The key thing here is control. You want anticipation, not fog. What to listen for is whether the texture still has rhythmic definition when the effects are active. If it starts smearing the snare or flattening the groove, the effects are too heavy. If it still reads clearly but feels wider, deeper, and more alive, that's the sweet spot. Now, before you fall in love with the loop, check it in context. Loop it with your kick, snare, hats, and bass. Don't judge the chop on its own. That's one of the most common mistakes in production. Ask yourself a few very direct questions. Can I still hear the snare crack? Is the sub staying centered and stable? Does the chop occupy a useful lane above the drums, or is it fighting for the same mid-range space as everything else? If the bass line is a res or a harmonic mid-bass, you may need to carve a little more around 200 to 500 Hz, and possibly a bit around 1.5 to 3 kHz if that's where the bass speaks. If the bass is more sparse and sub-led, you can leave more mid-range in the sample for character. The point is to make them cooperate, not compete, and keep the width under control. The body of the sample should stay pretty monosafe. If you want stereo spread, reserve it for the upper texture or the FX return. If the chop loses authority in mono, you've probably widened too low. One of the smartest workflow moves you can make at this point is to print the loop to audio. Once the core groove works, bounce it, commit it, and edit the waveform. That lets you do little fades, reverses, mutes, and micro edits much faster. It also stops you from getting stuck endlessly polishing the source, while the arrangement never moves forward. Trust me, that happens all the time. Now arrange it like a real DJ tool, not a loop demo. In the intro, keep it filtered and minimal. Let it tease the idea without revealing everything. In the pre-drop, open it up and expose a recognizable fragment. Right before impact, pull it away for a moment so the drop lands harder. Then in the drop, keep the pattern stable enough that the listener can lock into it quickly. On the second drop, change just one thing. Maybe shift the chop order, maybe remove the first hit, maybe change the register, maybe add a brighter duplicate for the final 8 bars. This is where the soul becomes arrangement value. The chop isn't just there to sound nice. It's there to help the track breathe, to make the drop feel musical, and to give you something the crowd remembers. A few practical pro moves can really elevate this. Try a ghost chop variant with very low volume slices between the obvious hits. That creates movement without crowding the snare lane. Or try a shuffle tilt feel by pushing a few selected slices a few milliseconds late, while keeping a couple of keyed attacks right on the grid. That gives you human drag against machine precision, which works beautifully in rollers and jungle adjacent tunes. You can also get a lot of mileage from tiny mute automations. Pull the chop down for one beat, before a fill, then bring it back hard on the downbeat. That one missing moment can create more impact than adding another layer. And here's a really important reminder. If the chop only works when you stop thinking about the drums, it's probably too long, too wide, or too wet. Treat it as a foreground instrument, not a loop bed. In a proper DNB record, the groove first, the texture second. Lock the drum and bass relationship first, then shape the chop around it.